Welcome to the Steelers by the Lake podcast. I'm your co-host, Cody Tanner, with my co-host, James Strong. James, how are you doing on this lovely Friday evening?
I'm doing fantastic. Free agency has been absolutely nuts. There's so much to talk about. This might be the most exciting episode we've had this entire year. Not to mention this happy new year, new league year.
Happy new year. Love it. Man, it's, we're not celebrating St. Patrick's Day right now. We're celebrating this new year, new league, new us, new Steelers team, clearly. And we'll get into that in just a second. If you guys haven't already, be sure if you're watching this on YouTube, click the subscribe button. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, give us the 5-star review. If you're listening or watching anywhere else, please feel free to go follow us on all our social media accounts. We'd love to connect with you guys and try to be more up to date with everything. We're going to be pushing out some more content for you guys in the upcoming year. We're super excited just to get more involved and see what you guys like and what you don't like, and kind of make this just to be the place to stop and place to hang out and place to call family. Steelers by the Lake is your home, and we're inviting you in. So let's get started on this. Free agency, man.
Yeah, man. New QB, who dis?
New QB, new freaking offensive lineman. We got new everything.
And new secondary, new linebackers.
Some things we don't have enough of right now.
New return men.
It's a lot. Well, let's start off. You want to go straight down the list? How you want to do this?
Yeah, I think it's easiest if we just kind of go
timeline.
Otherwise, yeah. It's a little bit of a timeline thing going on right now.
A lot.
As far as our notes, it's just easier to keep track of it that way. The very first ball that dropped since we talked to you guys last was the signing of cornerback Arthur Maulet, the Steelers' Nickelback from last year, not the musical Nickelback, the guy that covers the slot wide receiver. 2 years, $4 million. That's a fantastic deal. $2 million a year. Easy to get out from these two-year deals.
Yep.
Basically, they're not guaranteed in any way other than when you make the roster. You're getting your signing bonus, if there is a signing bonus. So Arthur Maulet was great against the run. Solid tackler. Not the most tremendous cover guy, but you had to bring some people back, right? We had to solidify it. We had three corners that were free agents, unrestricted free agents at that.
Yeah.
And you had to bring at least one, if not two of them back. That's what we were saying. That was the first ball that dropped.
Yeah. Second ball was a big ball. Second ball was Mitch Trubisky, drafted by the Chicago Bears. And then previously, as of last year, was the backup for the Buffalo Bills. Mitchell Trubisky comes to Pittsburgh on a 2-year deal worth $14 million and worth up to $27 million, depending on bonuses and stuff like that that he could reach. But if he comes in and doesn't perform, the worst case scenario, $14 million is out of the pockets. But I think that's a huge signing. You got to get someone to compete with Mason. And I don't think that's a hard thing to do, not to be mean to Mason, but Mitch Trubisky having already been a starter in the league for multiple years, 4 years, had a better record than some players, including Baker Mayfield. We're not going to get into that too much, but I saw what's the guy's name? Colin Coward or whatever on the Herd did a blind reaction to players' stats, and he'd show Mitch Trubisky's and then another player. And some of these players, he'd pop up, like the one of them was playoff stats with like touchdowns and stuff since 2016, and he had better playoff stats technically than Drew Brees. Granted, it was an older Drew Brees, a retiring Drew Brees, but cool to see like the side by side stats and stuff like that. But he had a better record all around than Baker Mayfield, who might be on the outs in Cleveland. we might get to that later. Yeah.
I think there's a big swing of what you can get out of a guy like Mitchell Trubisky, right? And he decided when he came into the NFL, he wanted to be called Mitchell. Not Mitch. He's Mitchell Trubisky. I don't know if he's softened on that take or not. But regardless, when you look at the guy, more wins than losses, and by a few games, he had one season with Chicago where he had some pretty extreme success. Actually went to the Pro Bowl that year. So this is a Pro Bowl level quarterback that we've brought in. And a lot of people say that some of the lack of success in Chicago was due to play calling that was not favorable. Not a whole lot of offensive weapons, not the greatest offensive line in the world. Oh, but don't you worry. We've addressed a lot of those concerns in the following days, and some of them the very same day.
Yep.
So I think it's a great move. I don't think for a second that drafting and bringing in Mitchell Trubisky, I should say, bringing him in through free agency, I don't think that that is going to be the next franchise quarterback. I don't have fantasies that this is the next Ben Roethlisberger, none of that nonsense. I do believe this is a guy that can help push Mason Rudolph to be the best version of himself, while also Mason pushes him to be the best version of himself. I think both of them will be better than they've been previously because of this. And I think that you might have a little more high-end potential out of Trubisky than there is out of Mason Rudolph, which is exciting. It's exciting to have a guy that's not that old yet, who's pretty dang athletic, realistically, and was highly sought after in his rookie season. So I like the move, very minimal risk involved with it. The cap number is nice and low, which is fantastic for a possible starting quarterback. But the big question following this signing was, what are they going to do about the offensive line?
Yeah, absolutely. So you got to start it off by keeping the anchors you already have in place. Chukwuma Okorafor was brought back on a 3-year, $27.5 million deal with $20 million of that guaranteed. And that was phenomenal. Chukes is able to play tackle for both sides. So I think that's pivotal, especially when you look at the draft coming up. If you draft somebody who's only specifically good at right tackle, a lot of these guys don't come out of the draft ready to play both. They're capable of playing both, but not ready to play both. If you can draft someone that is solely good at right tackle, Chukes has that flexibility to move to left tackle, give you a little bit more security there. And then we also went right ahead and signed former Vikings center and guard Mason Cole. So you solidified potentially both outside tackle positions, and then you signed a guy that's played both center and guard, Mason Cole, to a 3-year, $15 million deal. talk about investing in the offensive line as soon as you get a quarterback in there that might be able to play a little bit better than what you got. I love the moves. I love it more than I want to admit, because I was worried about it so much.
I like the way they did these contracts too, because they're all done in a way where it's much heavier in years 2 and 3 than it is in years 1. So a lot of these deals are only a couple million dollars on the cap on this season, which allowed them to continue going out and keep on getting more guys and retaining more of their own. Chukes, we know, is a pretty good pass blocker, just was unable to get a lot of push in the run game. So look for him to try to add maybe a little bit more muscle and try to develop his run blocking prowess. But Mason Cole, known for being a good run blocker in Minnesota last year, and actually had a very good game against the Steelers when Dalvin Cook went for like 240 yards against us. Mason Cole was blocking on that offensive line. So known for his ability to get to the second level, get after linebackers, and really move some bodies in the run game. Not as strong of a pass protector. But you know what? For $5 million a year, you're not getting a guy that's amazing in both pass blocking and run blocking.
No.
So we'll take what we can get in day one. I think he's already better than what we got out of the center position last year from either Kendrick Green or J.C. Hasenauer. So you're already making improvements just by adding Mason Cole. And Okorafor was maybe the best lineman Pittsburgh had last year. So retaining him was kind of important.
Yeah, I'd argue that he was the most consistent. I think at times you might have had players play a little bit better, but I also don't think that was ever like that was like specific plays, maybe. I don't think anyone really outperformed.
And he only gave up like 2 sacks on the entire season.
Yeah, he played phenomenally all year. And you gotta, I mean, we'll get into more offensive linemen here shortly. But you have to imagine that the addition last year in the draft of, you know, Najee Harris was a very large coaxing reason to get these players to come along and come back. And then on top of that, me and you talked before the show yesterday or whenever it was, you know, when they signed another big name guard that we'll get to in a minute, come back and be a part of, you said it, come back and be a part of the, come and be a part of the next big Steelers movement, the next big Steelers team. Like, this is the next team that we're building. Ben's gone. Like, I know that everyone really rooted for Ben, ourselves included, a little bit. We didn't have as much faith in him as other people did, but we saw the writing on the wall. But at the same time, Ben was that franchise player. Ben played his entire career with us and led us to 3 Super Bowls and 2 Super Bowl victories. Not many people do that. Let's clarify.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's thrown off because we've seen the likes of Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Ben Roethlisberger, and even Drew Brees in the past decade or 2 decades. You're not going to see that often. So I'm very excited to see what's happening. And this is, I mean, minus Tom Brady coming back.
Why? Why?
Minus
why?
That stupid
why?
Thing.
Why?
I don't know why he came back. I hate it.
Yeah, it's dumb.
It's dumb. It's but hey, Ben gets to go into the Hall of Fame without him. And I appreciate that a lot.
Yeah.
But minus him coming back.
No, consider going.
Yeah, minus him coming back. This is a whole new... Everyone else is gone. Who's out there from the past 10 years that really led teams to consistent playoff appearances and Super Bowls? There's nobody. Peyton's gone. Drew Brees is gone. Ben's gone.
Rodgers is all that's left, but Rodgers didn't really make it to the Super Bowl other than Super Bowl 45 against Pittsburgh.
No, and you think he's going to go back again now that Devontae Adams is gone? No.
Not likely.
No. I don't know why. I bet you
they'll draft a wide receiver in the first round now.
I bet you they will if they want to keep Rodgers happy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm just speaking about the situation now, but these players want to come back and be a part of the next big thing, and Pittsburgh's just, that's them traditionally. They have a few bad years here and there, and sometimes a lot, but I never lived through that, so that doesn't ring a bell as much for me. It might some other people. But yeah, so, and again, let's move on real quick. They tendered both middle linebackers, Robert Spillane and Marcus Allen. I think the Robert Spillane was a big move. Marcus Allen, I could kind of care less about at this point. But I guess for depth for now, that's easy to take care of later. You can probably release him at a very minimum cap penalty. But then you signed the big name guard. Oh, you want to talk something else, Spillane or something?
Well, and real quick with those tenders, they're not guaranteed contracts. So if they don't make the team, you're not out any money on it.
There you go.
So I now understand a little bit more why they did that, because it's a little less risk than I realized previously. Still, I think Robert Spillane a little bit more deserving of that $2.5 million or so than Marcus Allen. But regardless, hey, if Marcus Allen doesn't make the team, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. And then they go out and sign the big name guard. Let's talk about him.
Let's talk about Mr. James Daniels. Have you seen the soul-snatching block, they're calling it? It's floating out there on the internet.
I have not seen
Steelers Depot has an article with a video attached to it of an interview. I highly recommend looking this up. A linebacker tried to avoid him and tried to, like, jump out of the way. He caught him in midair and slammed him on his back.
Dang. I'll definitely have to look that up.
Tackling him. It was amazing. So this is a guy, serious pedigree, a former first round draft pick. He was blocking for Mitchell Trubisky in Chicago. It was probably the best offensive lineman they had. Bears fans are legitimately pissed that they were unable to bring James Daniels back. And I don't know if they just weren't willing to offer as much money as Pittsburgh. I mean, they gave him 3 years, $26.5 million, so it's not even $9 million a year for a high-quality starting offensive lineman who has experience starting at center, left guard, and right guard. So take your pick. Where do you want to play him? I'd prefer him at guard, personally, just because he's got really good size, really good length. That way, if you're putting Mason Cole or Kendrick Green in the middle, you can kind of protect him by these mammoth guards on either side with him and Dotson. I really like the idea of it. So if he starts losing a rep, they can help out and keep it from turning into something where Trubisky gets hit in the face or Rudolph gets hit in the face, whoever it ends up being back there, probably not Haskins. You get the impression I just did that for effect. I hope some of you are watching the YouTube on this just to see Cody's expression when I did that. But this is a straight monster in the run game and a very good pass protector as well. I love the signing. Absolutely fantastic. You look like you have something you want to add to it, Cody. I've been long-winded here.
That's okay. I've been playing my small violin for myself and remembering it. And let's be real, though, here. When James Daniels was drafted, he was playing with who at quarterback?
Mitchell Trubisky.
How much of this could have just been, hey, I want to play with the quarterback that I enjoyed playing with again. And I want to play with a better running back behind in the backfield. Don't get me wrong.
Better receivers.
They got, no. Okay, never mind. Yeah, you're right.
They might have had Allen Robinson for some of that.
I think they did. I think they for two years or so, whatever. But again, that could have been a deciding factor. Mitchell Trubisky was signed before James Daniels was brought in, and that could have been, you know, Mitchell could have been like, bro, let's run it back. Let's get some dubs.
Yeah.
Whatever the rapport was with them, there's so many things that could have played a role. But James Daniels signing was absolutely huge. But speaking of huge, let's talk about the next guy. Pittsburgh signed defensive tackle Martavius Adams to a 2-year, $5 million deal, $2.5 million a year. Granted, that's just the average. That might not be exactly how it was layered out, but Martavius Adams came in last year and played fairly well whenever he played on the D-line. I love that signing. This is
about the same money that Tyson Alualu got on his previous deal. So that shows you that they've got some faith in Mr. Adams here. And again, we saw some nice flashes from him in his year last year with Pittsburgh. So I agree with you, Cody. I was very excited to see him come back. I feel like it kind of solidifies the defensive line room. And the only reason I would be looking to add to that room is if you're able to bring in somebody really high level talent wise in the draft. Because otherwise, the room's pretty full right now. You got at least like six guys that are definitely making the team next year, assuming that Stephon Tuitt does come back, complete his comeback, and play next year. If he does, you're six deep already on that defensive line. Not to say they wouldn't go seven. They absolutely have. They did last year. Henry Mondo has made his way onto the roster as the seventh guy multiple times now because of his ability to play special teams on the kick coverage unit, which is just uniquely rare from that position. But at this stage, yeah, if you can get like a monster in the first round that's a D-tackle, that's a once-in-a-lifetime kind of guy, sure, you grab him. But other than that, I think the D-line is now pretty much set.
Yeah, I think you're not, I mean, yeah, unless there's a monster available in the first, we'll get to that maybe on the next episode. We'll talk about it. but yeah, I agree. That D-line didn't play horribly last year by any means necessarily, but again, there's always room for improvement. I think more specifically against the run than the pass. I think we saw what our defense can do against the pass. Not specifically from the D-line, but the defense as a whole. But yeah, so I like that signing. Then they went ahead and tendered a exclusive rights free agent in J.C. Hasenhauer, which was a very good move when we were worried about the depth at the center position. J.C. Hasenhauer played that very well, especially if you want Daniels and Dotson to be those guard guys. You're going to need some depth behind, at this point, Mason Cole, potentially Kendrick Green, if he winds up being the starter, backup, whatever that situation winds up being. Who knows? At this point, he might be a backup guard. Let's be real. We don't know. But yeah, I thought the J.C. Hasenhauer tender was very good. And again, I'm assuming this is the same as the other ones where you can release him and if it comes down to that and be charged no money.
Correct. Yeah, no penalties if you release him. And what I like about this, too, is J.C. Hasenhauer did play pretty well in the last couple of games when he got the opportunity to start. Mm-hmm. But now you're talking about four guys in the interior offensive line group that have experience at both center and guard. A lot of position flexibility here where you don't necessarily need to keep as many bodies as you might otherwise due to the flexibility of these guys. And then that's not even getting into a guy like John LeGlue, who's technically a tackle, but started a couple games at guard for Pittsburgh last year. Mm-hmm. So you got some tremendous position flexibility if these guys can continue to develop. I really like where this offensive line unit is going right now. When you talk about Dan Moore being a second-year player now, very young. Kevin Dotson, very young. Kendrick Green, again, going into his second year. We're talking about at right guard, most likely James Daniels. He's still only 24 years old. 4 years in the league already, he's 24.
Yep.
Going to be 25 by the time the season starts, I believe. And then right tackle Chukwuma Okorafor, same thing. He's going into his fifth year, but he was like 21 when he came into the league. He's only like 24 or something.
Yep.
This whole possible starting offensive line unit, and if Mason Cole gets the start over Kendrick Green, he's only like 26 or something. He's not much older.
No.
The whole group is in their early to mid-20s. They could grow together and be a collective unit for a number of years and really turn into something.
And we've seen that happen with Pittsburgh. That was our Super Bowl teams. We've, you know, Ramon Foster, Gilbert. You had Gilbert in there. Obviously,
yeah, Pouncey.
Alejandro Villanueva. I'm trying. Oh, DeCastro. Like,
yeah,
we saw it happen.
They kind of grew up together.
Yeah. So I'm excited for this. I'm super excited for this. Next signing, cornerback. We needed a cornerback bad. I think at this point, Pittsburgh didn't know what was happening with Akilah Witherspoon. I don't think they have any intentions on signing Joe Haden. I think that's past even potentially happening, even at this point before we sign anybody. But Levi Wallace, previously of the Buffalo Bills, signed to a two-year, $8 million deal. He ran a 4.63 40 in his combine. Not slow.
No, not, it's slow.
I know. I was waiting to see your reaction.
No, for a quarter, that's slow.
I was trying to get you to be like, it's not ideal by any means.
So here's the thing when you look at Levi Wallace. He was the number two corner in Buffalo. He was an undrafted guy, was able to win the starting job and keep it for like 3 years while he was in Buffalo. So you have to admire how hard he must have worked to make that happen, because that doesn't just happen. Kind of a skinny guy. He's about 6 foot, but only 180 pounds. He's got good length to him. But let's be honest. The weakness that Buffalo had in the secondary was not Trey White, and it was not the safeties. It was the other corners in the room. And it wasn't necessarily that they were bad corners. It was that they couldn't handle the speed of teams like Kansas City. So that was my biggest concern with a move like this, is Cam Sutton already struggled with extreme speed on other teams, Kansas City, Cincinnati. These guys that were the top tier athletes really gave him problems. Now we're bringing in the team's corner from Buffalo. That this, again, think about the national headlines after Buffalo lost that game. Everybody wanted to change the overtime rules because they said Kansas City's offense was unstoppable and it was just unfair. And then the next week, the Bengals beat them in overtime by stopping their offense. And it's a difference of what do you have in the secondary? You know, do you have guys that can hang with these wide receivers or do you not? Yep. And Levi Wallace was not a guy that could hang with those guys. Now, I think in most games, he's going to be just fine. When he's going against most wide receivers, he's going to be fine. He's going to be an adequate corner. He's tremendous against the run. He was number three in the entire NFL over like the last three seasons in tackles against the run. So helping stop the running backs. Number two is Joe Haden, by the way. So this is a mold of a guy, similar idea, very tough. And I think as a second or third corner, I like him. But I was worried that when they signed him, they were thinking about him being the number one corner. And I just don't think he can handle those elite wide receivers. That's my biggest thing with him. I think you put him against number two and number three wide receivers and he's going to be fine. Put him against elite athletes and he's going to get exposed.
Yeah. So again, at that point, there was no word on Akilah Witherspoon signing or anything like that. We didn't know if he was staying or going, but we're still There were rumors. We're still moving down the list. At this point, Steelers released offensive tackle Zach Banner, saving about $4 million in cap space, which was huge. Again, Zach Banner was someone James and I were very, very high on. You remember last offseason when we were at training camp and we audibly heard him say, James saw him word, like mouth this, I can do this, because he wanted to be doing practice. He wanted to be doing stuff. He never healed correctly or enough to be productive enough to get, he got beat out for the starting job over and over again. He didn't play much. Yeah. So you got to do what you got to do there. The releasing of Zach Banner, as sad as it is for Steelers fans who were fans of him, you got to do what you got to do and you save $4 million.
And last year, he got paid about $5 million and took four offensive snaps. And you just can't have that again in this upcoming season with the the salary cap being what it was, with Pittsburgh being very obviously aggressive, trying to bring in as many people as they can to try to make sure that they don't skip a beat and go straight back into the playoffs again this upcoming season, you got to use every dollar that you can wisely. And it's one thing, if he was on a deal that was only like $1 million, there's no way you get rid of him. But at $5 million, you're not paying a backup who only plays four snaps a season, $5 million. It's just not in the cards. It's not a good business decision. So they had to move forward and find other business decisions that were drastically better that we did not expect for a moment to happen. But the Jacksonville Jaguars were looking to clear some cap space. And they did successfully clear that cap space. And we benefited big time, buddy.
Oh, yeah, we did. Miles Jack, baby. Miles ahead of another man by the name of Joe Schobert, who we'll get into later on.
Oh, yeah.
But Miles Jack, 2-year deal. Love it. Love it. I have nothing else to say about Miles Jack other than I'm hyped.
You guys? He's a tremendous athlete. This is an athlete similar to Devin Bush, except bigger, taller, longer. So a better opportunity for disengaging. Now, they do say he does better when he plays attack style football. If a lineman comes to him, he has a little bit tougher time getting rid of him. But very, very, very good in coverage, in man coverage. You put a man coverage against a tight end or a running back, he's erasing him, period. So this is a really, really nice addition. He was set to make over $10 million this year with Jacksonville. They release him. Pittsburgh signs him for 2 years, $16 million, get him for $8 million a year. Fantastic. And he's only 26 years old, coming off of his rookie deal. If he does great in the next 2 years, you extend him and keep him and give him another 3 or 4 year deal. If not, you're not really out that much. It's a win-win. I love it. And the smile on this kid's face is infectious. I don't know if you've seen his pictures.
I have.
It's an infectious smile. I love it.
And I'm going to say this real quick. Pittsburgh's investing in all these guys in a lot of 2-year deals and a lot of back-heavy contracts. They understand that they're going to have to hit big in the draft in a couple of these positions, because there's no way, if all these players play up to what we believe they can play, they can't keep all of them. They know that. So,
and part of this too, a lot of money is going to get freed up because there's a lot of dead cap this year from all those futures deals that they did, where they did all the extra years. Like, you have something like $10 million on Ben Roethlisberger and dead cap space this year.
Yeah,
there's a bunch on Eric Ebron. There's a bunch on Juju Smith-Schuster. There's a few of these guys where there's a lot of dead cap space hitting this year that'll all be gone next year, and make these guys a little bit more affordable.
Yeah. Exactly. So now we go back to the cornerback room. We were worried about Akilah Witherspoon. Yes. Akilah Witherspoon does re-sign with the Pittsburgh Steelers for a 2-year deal worth $8 million. Again, $4 million a year for a starter. He's going to be our number one.
Yes.
That's amazing.
I immediately felt better about the situation at corner when this happened. Because now you look at it and you say, okay, Akilah Witherspoon has the athleticism to handle these really fast guys. You send him against the number one. You put Cam Sutton and Levi Wallace against the 2 and 3. And I feel good about this unit now, especially as good of a tackler as Levi Wallace is. If you want to put Levi Wallace inside in the slot defense, okay, do it. If you want to put Cam Sutton in there, okay, do it. But I feel like both of those guys can probably play the slot, and both of them can play outside as well. And now you got Akello, who excels on the outside, had 3 picks in half a season. This is where we need to be. Corner in the draft, but if they do, I think it's going to be a guy with some serious speed. Just because you do have some teams like Kansas City that have multiple guys with a lot of speed.
Yep, I agree with that completely. So then again, with the Miles Jack thing, you saw the fairly quick release of Joe Schobert, which, thank the good Lord up in heaven, we needed that about a year ago. I don't care. It is what it is.
He signed him.
It is what it is. And then assistant O-line coach Isaac Williams of, what was it, North Carolina Central. Yep. So that's,
I don't know where that is. I'm assuming it's in the middle of the state, though.
Here's North Carolina. I don't even know what the shape of North Carolina is. I can't think. It's right there in the center.
Right in the middle.
Right in the middle.
Right smack in the middle between the E and the N in Central. That's where it is.
Exactly. Okay? So then we also got some draft news. Steelers did officially receive a fourth round compensatory pick. Not exactly what we wanted, but better than nothing. You know.
Yeah, and that had a lot to do with Akello Witherspoon being traded for. He factored into it. And then, unfortunately, with Joe Haig having to play so much at the end of the year, he ended up hitting like 27% of the snaps, and he needed to remain under 25% in order for him to not factor into the compensatory formula. And that's part of the reason that you released Zach Banner, because he couldn't get back onto the field. If he could have got back onto the field, then Haig doesn't have to play that many snaps. And then you're getting an additional pick. It would have been like another fifth round pick too.
Yeah.
So it would have been a valuable pick, but
what do we got?
You
next?
Do what you
got
to do.
What do we got next, James?
We got a whole slew of guys that the Steelers lost in free agency.
We got somebody else first.
Well, we did. We did. A wide receiver, but more importantly, Pro Bowl punt return and kick returner from the New England Patriots. A little guy by the name of Gunnar Olszewski. I'm guessing on the last name. I'm not sure if that's correct.
I actually went to high school. I went to high school with a guy with the same last name, Olszewski.
Olszewski.
If it's pronounced the same way as the guy from high school, it's Olszewski.
You're holding out on me. I asked you if you had any idea how to pronounce this, and you know a guy with the same last name.
I
don't want to
tell you because I always freaking mess up last names, and you look at me funny. So I wanted to watch you suffer for a minute.
I look at you funny regardless.
That's big facts. But anyways, yep, Gunnar Olszewski. I'll take a Pro Bowl kick and punt return. That's phenomenal.
Hell yeah, man. Hell yeah, especially since we just lost Ray Ray.
Yep, we lost Ray Ray. We lost Juju. Let me clarify. We lost Ray Ray to the 49ers. We lost Juju to the Chiefs. Yep. And then we lost James Washington to the Cowboys.
Yep.
Sad.
Now, Washington's a one-year deal. Juju's a one-year deal. Ray Ray's a two-year deal.
Yep.
So there's always the possibility that Juju could enter free agency again next season after a single season with the Chiefs. But I do feel like Pittsburgh will probably pursue wide receiver in the draft now.
Yep.
I don't know that that was that big of a need previously, but now Gunner's your number three wide receiver. And you're probably going to want to increase
that. You got some guys still. You got Rico Bussey. You got Cody White.
Yeah.
Cody White played some last year.
So Gunner's our number three wide receiver. No, Anthony Miller, low key. Anthony I think Miller that he well. Could make the team.
Anthony That's Miller a second round pick formerly. Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah.
Mitchell.
Yeah.
Formerly. Mitchell.
Mitchell, like the milk place. Come on. Former second round pick in himself.
Nobody knows that reference. Nobody.
just you and me.
Oh man. But yeah, so that basically does it for
that catches us up to right now.
Yeah. And I just checked. There's no recent news that I've seen.
I was just checking too.
I don't see anything marking up my inbox or my updates or anything like that. Yeah, I don't know. You got anything else to share, James?
No, man. You know, I'm just glad that Pittsburgh didn't do anything dumb like go sign Deshaun Watson.
Cleveland. Well, technically trading for. There's a lot of drama with Baker Mayfield.
Three first round picks.
Let's share a moment of sadness for Baker Mayfield. Moment of silence, please. Okay, that's it. That's all we needed.
It's fine. That's funny.
But again,
look for him to be the backup quarterback at Buffalo.
Oh, that'd be so sad. Watch him go to Philly. No, yeah. Not Philly. Indianapolis. Watch him go to Indianapolis.
Indy or New Orleans. How about that on there, man?
No, New Orleans.
They might like him.
New Orleans is too classy for Baker Mayfield.
New Orleans classy since when?
Well, a little bit. Well, not since. Never mind. We're not going to get into that right now. next episode, look forward to.
You haven't
to
been
us.
To New Orleans, have you?
I haven't. I've seen Mardi Gras. I've seen images. Not the one.
Real
with
classy.
Beads. Not
isn't
the
it?
One with beads. anyways, make sure you guys pay attention to keep an eye out for the next episode. We are going to be doing some mock drafts. One or two of them may have already been done. We might do one live with you guys. We'll wait to figure that all out. We're going to see what we can do there. So, yeah.
It's draft season now, baby. We're going to keep you up to date. Don't you worry. There's plenty coming up. I'm sure Pittsburgh's not done. The safety position isn't filled yet. So there's going to be something happen in that room. I almost guarantee they're going to bring a safety in before this draft class hits. But don't you worry. We're going to tell you all about these safeties in this class, because that seems to me like that might be the priority now for Pittsburgh. But we appreciate you guys joining us tonight. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. Don't forget to like and ring the bell, as Cody likes to say. Get them notifications. Don't forget about our 5-star reviews on Apple Podcast. You can do that on Facebook too. Nobody's done that on our Facebook page in quite some time now. So always helps bring more people in. That Facebook family is growing, and we appreciate every single one of you. So for Cody, this is James signing off.
Peace.